Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, hadith 249. This hadith was reported or narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the Prophet والسلام, held the evening and the Isha prayer with one adhan and two iqamah and did not glorify, did not offer adhkar, the tasbih, etc. between them. And he did not also observe voluntary rak'ahs between Maghrib and Isha prayers. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah is to pray Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah, shortening the Isha into two rak'ahs, joining the Maghrib with the Isha. One adhan, but two iqama for each prayer. And he, in between, did not offer any sunnah, which means that it is not recommended for a Muslim when in Hajj to offer any sunnah between Maghrib or between Isha. And this is also the same with Dhuhr and Asr. When you are in Arafah, you pray Dhuhr and Asr, two rak'ahs, with one adhan and two iqamas, but there is no sunnah in between. Moving on to the following hadith, hadith 250. Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام set out for pilgrimage and we also set out along with him. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام sent some of his companions along with Abu Qatada and said to them, take the coastline till you meet me. Abu Qatada said, they proceeded ahead of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. All of them had entered upon the state of ihram except me. He had not put on his ihram. As they went on their way, they saw a zebra, which is a wild donkey. And Abu Qatada hunted it. They got down and ate its meat. They said afterwards, we ate hunted meat in the state of ihram. They carried the meat that was left of it. As they came to the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, they asked him, the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وسلم, did any among you command him to hunt or point to him with anything to do so? They said no. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, then eat what is left out of its meat. And another narration for Muslim, he said, is anything left of it? Abu Qatada said yes. And I gave him the shoulder and he ate from it or ate it sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is a long hadith, but we cannot understand it until we read the following hadith, which is the last hadith in the chapter that deals with Hajj. The hadith was narrated by As-Sa'b ibn Jathama al-Layfi, may Allah be pleased with him, that he gave or presented a zebra to the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam when he was at Al-Abwa or at Waddan, two places, two locations, while the Prophet was in the state of Ihram. The Prophet refused to accept it. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that in my face, and that my face changed because he refused my gift, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have refused it only because we are in the state of Ihram. And in the narration of Muslim, the leg or the part of a zebra, and the author said that the Prophet ﷺ thought that it was hunted for him, and a muhrim does not eat what was hunted for him. Two conflicting, so it seems, hadiths. One, Abu Qatada, who was traveling, the Prophet said, you take the coastline, I'm going to take the other way. And they saw a zebra, and at the time, zebras were common in Arabia. Now we don't have them. So a zebra is a game. It can be hunted. It can be eaten. Unlike domestic donkeys, it is completely forbidden to eat a donkey in Islam. It was permitted before on the 7th year of Hijrah, on the year of Khaybar, it was made forbidden. Domestic donkeys. But zebras, wild donkeys, it's permissible. So Abu Qatada, who was not in the state of Ihram, saw that zebra. He hunted it down. They cooked the food and they ate from it. And after eating, his companion said, listen, we are in the state of Ihram. And we ate from this hunted animal. We have to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, they came to know this after they had full stomachs. They didn't think before because hunger sometimes blinds people. So when they went and met the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, did anyone of you order him? Because you're muhrim, you cannot hunt. So ordering him would mean that you are the reason. They said, no. Anyone pointed it out? How do you point it out? By saying to him, oh, look at that zebra. It looks very nice, mashallah. Or look at that deer, subhanallah. And then he has the gun ready. Then you would be an accomplice. But they all said, no, we didn't. So the Prophet said, eat from it. And not only that, he said, bring me part of it and I will eat it. In the second hadith of Mus'ab, of As'ab ibn Jathama, he gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Prophet refused. Why? It's the same incident. He said, no, we are muhrim, and the Prophet thought or was made to believe that he did this deliberately for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that means if a person hunts for himself, this is permissible for the people in the state of Ihram to eat. But if he hunts it for them or by or through their direction to it, this is haram and he would not be considered allowed to eat from it. I hope this is understood. Okay, any questions? Faisal.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salam.
Sheikh, as you had mentioned before, that wa atimul hajja wal umrata lillah, that we should complete the hajj and umrah for Allah. So if a person intends to break it in between, then he cannot go back. So what if a person during Hajj or before Hajj, he falls terminally ill? So does he have some exemptions?
Very good question. Hajj and Umrah are unlike other forms of worship. For example, if a person is fasting and he intends to break his fast, even if he does not eat, his fast is void. Khalas, it's gone. If a person is in prayer and he intends firmly by his heart, I'm not going to pray anymore, his prayer is invalid. Hajj, if you commit yourself to Ihram or Umrah, once you commit and khalas, you are in the state of Ihram, you cannot reject that. You cannot say, oops, no more, khalas, sorry. No, you have to complete your Umrah and Hajj. Even no matter what you do, it's a state that you are obliged and you cannot simply take it off. It's not a cloth that you put on. It is a state you're in, you have to continue it. However, there is a small way out for those who are unable, forcibly, they're unable to continue. For example, someone goes for Hajj and he breaks both legs and no one to carry him. He cannot continue Hajj. Someone goes to Hajj and there's an enemy army blocking the road, saying, no way, Jose. And he cannot perform Hajj. What do we call this person? We call him muhsar. Muhsar. فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. This means that if you're blocked, if you are prevented, and this happened to the Prophet ﷺ in the sixth year of Hijrah, when he went for Umrah, and the pagans told him, sign a treaty, don't come this year, next year come. What did the Prophet do, alayhi salam? He's in the state of Ihram. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this verse to tell him that if you were blocked and you were unable, you cannot do anything. How can I go? Then in this case, you have to slaughter your sacrifice in the place you were prevented and shave your head. And by this, you become halal again. This is for someone who is in need and who has specific and real case. But if someone says, my car has a flat tire, so I'm going back. So nope, you're in the state of Ihram. You have to wait a day, a two, a week or two in your state of Ihram until you finish your ritual. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, my question is that if I'm performing tawaf And due to some overcrowd, usually in the haram, the crowd is excessive, so the musallis come till the Kaaba. So if I'm performing tawaf and I'm stopped because of the salah, so when I resume my tawaf, will it be from where I stopped or should I begin from the beginning?
You should resume from where you stopped, in the sense that if your tawaf was interrupted due to salat, due to maybe you have to go and answer the call of nature, do you continue from where you interrupted your tawaf? Meaning that if you were midway in the third round, you continue from where you stopped. You don't have to make the third round all over again. And if you make it, this is okay, providing it's before where you have stopped. And this brings us to a very important issue, which is, do I have to be in the state of wudu when I make tawaf or not? It's a long discussion among scholars. The most authentic opinion is, it is recommended, but it is not mandatory. So if I nullify my wudu while I am doing tawaf in Hajj, to go out and make wudu and come back, this takes me 3 hours, and it's murder. So scholars like Ibn Taymiyyah say that it is not mandatory. There is no authentic opinion and strong opinion to mandate it, and hence it is recommended and not mandatory. With this, we conclude the book and the chapter that deals with Hajj. When we meet, inshallah, next time, we will begin in the chapter that deals with transactions. This portion we've concluded talks about ibadat, about forms of worship, prayer, fasting, zakat, and hajj. Now onwards, we will deal with things that deal with transactions, such as the types of riba, the types of forbidden sales, the types of lending, and so on, things that deal with transactions. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.